Hello, good evening. Welcome to a Friday night. It's Guns and Yellow Ribbons, game week 34. It's the preview show. We are going to look at all the games in the league. In particular, we're going to look at Wolves versus Arsenal. And I suppose we have to do it. We've got to look back at our Champions League campaign. The three boys were out in Munich. I was out in Dorset. So I'm a lot fresher than they are. This should be fun.
Get ready for the world's greatest Arsenal podcast. Welcome to another podcast by Guns and Yellow Ribbons. Enjoy the show.
Hello, good evening, boys. How are we feeling? A little bit delicate still, Dan? You apparently were like looking for your mummy and daddy in Munich.
Fergus, are we live?
Yeah.
I don't want to be. I'm not the same man as I was before Munich. I feel like some trips make you a man, some trips turn you back into a boy, and I've gone back to a little boy, and I'd like to stay there. That's how I feel.
Was it this that done it for you?
I wouldn't say it does it for me, mate. Put it that way.
he was like a big bear. Look at him.
Boys, can I just say that there was this strange bloke in Munich, right, that looked just like me. Kept getting his picture. I ain't got a clue who he is. Kept getting his picture on social media. I haven't got a clue.
Alex, an away day, and it was a long one as well. It wasn't just the one night, it was two nights in Munich with these animals on steins. They're 2 pints, each one of them, and I know you were neck of them from very early on to very late at night.
Yeah, especially Tuesday was a terrible idea to do it that late, because I was not feeling well when I woke up Wednesday. And then, of course, met up with the other boys and started drinking 12 o'clock again. So, yeah, a lot of beers has been consumed over the last couple of days.
I must admit, I was down in Dorset with a wonderful wife. We were down by Dordal's door, and it really, really nice. And I did have, at times, a huge amount of FOMO. But then I also thought, especially when I read the message on, I think it was Tuesday lunchtime, when Dan said, got in at 5 a.m. 5 a.m. Tuesday morning, after being out there early on. And I know Trevor had the nightmare that we had on Monday getting out there. Dan, how did you recover for Tuesday, never mind Wednesday?
Well, I didn't. That's the point, Fergus. I didn't recover for Tuesday. And that's probably what put me in the state of Tuesday night. So some lightweights like Alex, obviously, didn't have the big student night out on a Monday that I had and back at early hours in the morning. But no, there was a point Tuesday night where dear Trev looked after me, and I'm very, very thankful. So when he looked at me and said, Dan, do you need to go? And I said, yes, I'm very, very
just
thankful.
Just please, Daddy. Thanks,
you didn't need to say anything, Dan.
apparently he couldn't say anything, Trevor. Is that true?
He wasn't capable of hitting too many words together, but I must say, Fergus, that he was impeccably behaved, was our Dan. It was one of those trips that I've done plenty of trips in my time, as we all know. It was epic. The Tuesday that Alex just mentioned was one of the best days I've ever had on an away trip. It was just from start to finish. Great beer, great company, great food, great people. You couldn't fault it. And I got through it all right. I was quite pleased with myself. Match day yesterday, we were at it again. I think we all went in there. We all went in this bar, and there was about 8 or 10 of us, all wonderful lads, some new friends I've made. And we started off, everyone said, let's just have a small beer to start with. And that was the only small beer we had all day. They were just coming and coming and coming. And then someone ordered some Jaeger bombs. And then we get to the ground, and we've got like a 5-mile hike to one of the most impressive stadiums I've ever seen, but it's not the best of journeys to that ground from the city. Oh, my Lord. But overall, you two boys here, any of others that you that are listening now or will listen back, thank you, for boys. I had a crack. The old boy had a cracking trip.
Yeah, I'm just looking up. I'll put some of the photos up here. Here's you with Jamie Goulding and some and Dan and a few of the other lads. I think this is that Dave? Is it? Who's the guy in the icon hat?
Yeah, it's Dave. Yeah.
And this is you having the slight bit of food that you had.
On the match day, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably the only food over 3 days. I expect.
Yeah.
And Trevor, the person I feel really sorry for, it was her birthday last weekend, but you collared her and you insisted on a photo with Georgia. This lady is an athlete, represents her country, and you collar her.
Right, steady a minute, will you? Because firstly, I didn't collar Georgia. We were talking and she said, let's have a picture. Let's get that straight, right? Secondly, I hate that picture because although I carry a bit of weight on me, my belly looks like, oh, my Lord, there, I'm about to drop. And Georgia's a lovely girl. Just I didn't see her dad at all. He was in the ground by then. So
he stood behind your belly. You couldn't see him from there.
Right, take that down now, Fergus, before I chuck you off the show. Come on.
I will say, Fergus, that Trevor's stomach is the picture of Munich. And if they was going to build a statue of our trip to Munich, like the Angel with the North.
Yeah, is it this statue?
That's the Angel of Munich.
Or is it that one with him looking like a bear?
No, the first one with his arms out. That's the Angel
Iconic.
Of Munich.
We had a load of Danish people sitting behind us and they were really, really impressed by Trevor.
Oh, dear. I hear there was a theme, like a theme song. Like, you know, every time we go on these away days, there's always a song that comes out. And I did hear this song on the WhatsApp groups coming out before we went. Now, I'm not sure. I'm still not 100%, but you guys had this ringing in ears right now.
Bring a full fiesta.
Was back and then it just opened the
cartita. Went to Spain, being a full fiesta.
So Josh Conkey went to Spain in a full fiesta.
I've just got that in my head.
Ferg, it must be said, right, that we didn't make that song up. We just heard it while we was out there and everybody picked up on it. But you know what, mate? This is how that bloody tune got me. I went to bed, whatever time I did, in the early hours of Wednesday morning on match day, right? And I'm drunk as a skunk, right?
No shit.
And normally I pass out and I'm done. I'm gone. I'm all asleep till the morning. But I still kept waking up singing that bloody tune in my head, mate. It drove me to distraction. By the way, Lyle's in the chat. Lyle, I'm not talking to you, son, because I've sent you a WhatsApp message to message me, and you've not messaged me back. So we're going to, as much as I love you, Lyle, we're going to fall out if you don't message me back, mate.
guys, listen, let's talk about, you know what? A lot of people made a very big mountain out of a molehill out of this. Because, as I said to Trevor and Alex, who were here on time, and Dan was late, and we were talking beforehand just about what our expectations were at the beginning of the season. I remember on an early podcast towards the start of the season, just before the season started, we said we're in Champions League and we're in the league campaign and we've got the two cups. We thought we'd try and win one of the trophies. Challenge for the league, but we didn't know if we could actually win the league, but we're not out of that race yet. But in the Champions League, I don't think any of us, I think clearly Trevor, because his glass is always overbrimming, will have said, oh, we're going to win it. We're going to win it 10-0. But realistically, I don't think any of us us to win the Champions League this year, the first attempt back in after 7 years. I think I said, as long as we got to the last 16 and showed ourselves some respect and represented ourselves well, I would have been happy. A few of the guys came along and said quarterfinals. We've got to the quarterfinals and we've come up against a Bayern Munich. I don't think it's that bad in where we've achieved. I think, There was a lot of talk about Bayern Munich are poor in their league, but they're veterans of the Champions League, Dan.
Oh, too many subjects there, Ferg. Where do I start? I mean, the noise going on in the background, I think, is over the top and attention-seeking, as always, from many, many people. So I won't even grace it because I don't think it's warranted. I think our great club deserves a bit more respect for that. We're all beyond disappointed. I'd say, honestly, I'm absolutely gutted in the fact that we're not getting to the next round because I genuinely thought we could go all the way to win it. I still think we have enough quality, even though we need more. But I still think we've got enough quality in our team to win it. And I think we've got one of the greatest managers and potential greatest managers that we will have in our history in the making in charge of us. So I think the noise coming out on that is disrespectful. But some things that people have said are not wrong. I do think Bayern are not the side that they used to be. So we're not quite coming up against the same team that we played against 7 years ago. And I do believe we could have beat them. And on another night, if we don't make those mistakes, we do beat them. Having said that, there's a steep learning curve in the Champions League that is very, very different from the Premier League. And we saw that with Man City, where they dominated the Premier League for many years before they even won the Champions League. And it's because it's not an easy thing to do. So sometimes when you make mistakes in the Champions League, you get punished to a greater degree than you do in any other competition. And I think we just have to take that on the chin a little bit.
Trevor, the starting lineup was a strong starting lineup, probably as strong as we could have expected. Havertz up top is what you wanted. And Tomiyasu rather than Kivior, who, let's face it, struggled a little bit in the home leg. And whilst Zinchenko is creative and great in the midfield defensively, he can sometimes be lacking, especially with Sané against him. So it was Raya, White, Saliba, Gabriel, Tomiyasu, Rice, Jorginho, Odegaard, Saka, Martinelli and Havertz. You must have been confident with the pitch, I expect, but you must have been confident with seeing the lineup.
Well, I'm glad you used the word confident, Fergus, because what Dan just said and the question you asked Dan, not me, mate, was really important question. A really important question when you look at how far our club has come and the perception of how far we have come by the proper decent fans, right? Not by the fans that are looking to pick fault all the time. But everybody's entitled to their opinion and their view, so I've not bitten and I've not shouted on social media. But the fact of the matter is, I didn't think we could win it, Fergus, the Champions League. I knew we could win the Champions League. I knew at the start of the competition that we could win the Champions League this year. But I also knew that we would need some luck because every team needs a bit of luck to win the Champions League, right? You can't go through it. The teams are that good. The margins are that small, right? That skill alone ain't going to win you it. You need a bit of luck. You need, like Madrid did, to nick a penalty shootout against people say the best team in Europe, you know. You need, like we did in the previous round against Porto, to nick a penalty shootout win at home to go through to face Munich. And what Dan said is really important because absolutely we were capable of beating Munich, right? And contrary to what only a few people are saying about how we've not played well enough and how we've let the side down and how Mikel's got this right or wrong. Contrary to all of that, we lost by a fine, fine margin. We lost because we gave away a silly penalty at home. We lost because we gave away a silly goal at home. We lost because we didn't convert, to my knowledge, the three chances we had in Munich, right? That's why we lost. We didn't lose because Munich would have... It sounds like I'm being contradictive here. But to me, we didn't lose the game because we are not as good a side as Bayern Munich, right? We lost the game because it was that fine. We didn't get the rubber to green. Play them another twice and we might beat them 1-0 another twice, right? So I've got to get it out and off my chest. And I know Dan's going to probably disagree with me because he always does. I've had a lovely chat about that this week. We really have, right?
No, we haven't.
You see what I mean? But we are we are honestly, and put it in the chat if you disagree with me. I'm open to be being, you know, being put right or being told, but we are very close now. We've not had the rubber green against Brighton, you know, and they're a very good side, and so are we. And they nicked the tie. Another time we nick it. Sorry, Phil, I sent it on, mate.
Alex, Trevor, as usual, is very confident and very stoic about and supportive of our great football club. And he says we were unlucky. But if you look at the first game, we caused our own downfall in the two mistakes we made, better side at the Emirates. But in the game against Munich, yes, in the first half, we had six shots on target and six shots on goal, three on target. But that first half, we probably edged the first half. The second half, we were nowhere in the game. So were we unlucky?
No. Then?
I think the main thing I'd put it down to is probably also the experience, because even though we've talked about the Bayern squad isn't as good as it's been previously, they've still got a massively experienced side. Neuer in goal. And just when you look at the players, all of them, they've played many Champions League games before. And when you look at our side, we've only had Havertz, Jorginho and Jesus play in the big Champions League game. So, I mean, that is an advantage they had over us as well. And I think when it comes down to such fine margins, that definitely plays a role, the amount of experience. And hopefully our boys, they can just learn from the games we had this season and take it on board next season, like we've done in the Premier League, hopefully this season as well. But yeah, I mean, some of you boys mentioned it earlier. When you look at Guardiola, he never wanted at Bayern Munich the Champions League. They had one of the best teams, City. They took, what was it, five or six seasons?
Yeah,
so football is a game of fine margins. And when you play Champions League knockout football, it's even finer margins. So like Trev said, you've got to need a bit of luck as well. And hopefully with our experience, we can build on and hopefully have more luck on our side next season.
Mm. There's 188 people watching on across different platforms, quite a lot on Twitter. If you could go over to YouTube and click and subscribe, we might get 50p and be able to send it to Dan to put some money in the meter so he can turn the lights on, because it's so dark we can hardly see his face.
Oh, gosh. He doesn't want you to see those bloodshot eyes, son.
Mate, my eyes are like, I don't know if I can say it live. I'm going to say it anyway, like piss holes in the snow.
Yeah, it's Friday. Friday, different day. The watershed changes on a Friday. It starts at 7 p.m. on a Friday.
Listen, before you move on, I want to ask you a question, right? Because you watched from a different perspective to us, didn't you? You watched it on the telly. Now, after half time.
No. Let me just clarify. I watched it on that, on a laptop, using my mobile phone with just one bar of 4G. And I had to watch it in standard def. 2 minutes behind because I watched it on some illegal stream. So yes, I did watch it with a different perspective. Yeah.
Careful, mate.
Is it safe, Fergus? Where did you watch it again, my friend?
All streams are illegal, aren't they, if you don't pay for them?
Sorry, boys. I've got to go on mute then. This Bavarian beer has done somersaults in my stomach for the last 3 days. So if I go on mute quick, it's because I do not wish to be rude.
I think I know where you're coming from. Ali McCoy summed it up really well, that the way Munich managed us and the way they managed the game was they pushed everything into the midfield. And Arsenal needed to get out to the wings to get some width in the game and get the ball out to the likes of Martinelli, who was, in the main, quite anonymous in a lot of the game. And Saka, they managed very well in the first leg and they managed them again in the second leg. So I think unless we could get... They didn't allow us to play our football, Trev. If we played our football, I agree with you guys. I think we are good enough, but inexperience and lack of squad depth, like the substitutions that we made later on, which is we took Martinelli off and Jorginho off and brought Trossard and Jesus on, changed the formation. I don't think it done us many favours.
Listen, you've done your normal thing there, Ferg, mate. You've asked me about 16 questions in one lot. And, you know, my memory, I can't remember 10 seconds ago, let alone, right? But there's two massive points I've just noted here, right? Okay. firstly, after half time, for the first couple of minutes after half time, I was thinking to myself, wow, we've dropped off here. We've dropped off a bit here. Bayern have got more space than they had in all the first half. But then as I watched it go on, I thought, actually, is it us or is it just that Bayern are having a second half lift from a 75,000 crowd who got noisier and noisier after half time and started to play their game a bit better and look for other options around us? Maybe we did drop off a bit, but I think it was also down to Bayern Munich picking it up second half, as the home team does in every game of football ever played. The home team picks it up at a certain part of the game and you have to defend, and you have to defend hard and for long periods at times. And we just didn't pull it off. And what you just said, mate, about getting the pressure down the wings, it's really interesting, you know, because I've had a lot of time on my hands and I've been thinking a lot about this game. You know how I do. I pull it apart and think, how should we have won it? And I honestly think we didn't have the pressure through the middle, right? They had a centre-half called Eric Dier, who we know will make a mistake under pressure.
Yeah.
He's done it time and time and time and time and time again, Dier. And Dier played the whole of that game with the utmost confidence. I've got to be honest to him, he looks a quality player. But that's not because he is a top-class quality player. It's because we haven't got the pressure through the middle up front the players through the middle up front to put the pressure on him. Jesus isn't the man there. And Havertz just didn't have the movement I like him to have the other night, you know? So I honestly thought we could have beaten through the middle, Ferg. Genuinely.
Yeah, well, I was watching it and McCoy came out and said, look, they need to get the ball going wide. But he was right. Everything was around the centre circle. And Dan, the notes I made on the evening, because I was sitting there in a caravan with a laptop and getting very jealous of you guys. And to be honest, you talk about the atmosphere that Trevor talked about, the atmosphere. On the telly, it's amazing how they manipulate the game, because it was all Arsenal on the telly until at one point Bayern got a corner and there was fireworks and flares and everything else got off, but you couldn't hear any Bayern fans. And also they just flicked the switch over and it was all Bayern fans, and then they switched it back again. So it's what people sit on the round chairs and watch is not what the game is like and what is experienced in the stadium and on the pitch. But my notes here was Arsenal look shook. Bayern are more intense. What did Tuchel say to them at halftime? They've come out all guns blazing. They hit the bar. Raya pushed one out for a corner. It was just a bombardment in that second half, Dan.
Did you just say Bayern got shook? Man like Ferg with a ghetto language there. Bayern got shook.
Shook? Yeah, shook. Shook up.
I'm not having that. Ferg has been, he's been spending too much time with too many youngsters. He's
next thing we know, he'll be pulling his jeans up, Dan.
Oh no, we'll never do that. We'll never do that.
It's like Tietam Jing, isn't it?
Oh, Fergus. He's admitted to stuff on camera that he shouldn't have done. He's changed his ghetto language. God, what's happened to you, my son?
Yeah, look, that's his finest.
Do you know what? The noise in the stadium, mate, I don't think that's too far of a reflection of what I thought happened at the time. I thought the first half, the Arsenal fans were a lot louder than the Bayern crowd, because I actually think the way we came out the first 10 minutes calmed the crowd down and kept them quiet. So I don't think what you guys heard at home is different from what was in the stadium. But second half, the moment where they hit the crossbar and the post within sort of 20 seconds,
yeah,
the crowd did get louder and it did make a difference. But it's hard to disagree, to be honest, with everything that you guys have said. I think there are a lot of things that we need in terms of the squad still. I feel like we made mistakes and we lost it as opposed to they won it. And many, many factors made a difference. A presence up top, their experience. But I think we have to look at ourselves first and say that we gave three poor goals away in that tie, which is not really a reflection of how our squad has been lately. So I just felt like every single mistake we've made this season across quite a few games, we've been punished. So I think we look at ourselves first and try and improve.
Yeah, I think in the first game for sure, Alex, Saliba and Gabriel looked, to use it again, shook, and that looked like they struggled in that game. But in the Munich game, I thought they performed well, and the goal that Kimmich scored was mainly down to Martinelli losing his man and ball watching a bit. For me, I summarised the game that it was lack of experience, which I think you touched on earlier, and lack of depth in the squad isn't the exact phrase, but there's something to do with the depth of the type of players we need in the squad, highlighted by bringing Eddie on at 87 minutes, and that's your major threat with, 5-10 minutes left of the game.
Yeah, I agree. I think Dan and I spoke about after the first half of the game in Munich, we both said it was quite a mature performance from the squad, because we did quieten the crowd quite a bit and kept possession and did well in the first half and didn't really make any mistakes like we did in the first game. But yeah, we just lacked that threat in the second half and that cutting edge, and probably, yeah, something different from the bench. And he has kept to the same 12, 14 players throughout the season, and hopefully we can bring in some new players in the summer and sort of have a wider selection of players that he can rely on, because he does seem to rely quite a lot on the same players, which is understandable if he doesn't feel like the others can provide what he wants. But it is definitely something we need for the next season, because we have looked a bit tired in the past couple of games, and it might be down to the same players playing a lot of minutes. But yeah, I guess that's something we'll have to look at.
Yeah, I shared... hang on. My screen's gone funny. I shared something in our WhatsApp group earlier, and it's...
the minutes Rory played.
Rory talks Arsenal. And, you know, of the 8 key subs that we're looking at Elneny, who's played a couple of minutes. Cedric, who's played a couple of minutes. You've got Nelson, who hardly gets a game. You've got man like Ferg. You've got Smith Rowe, who's not getting enough games. And there's quite a lot of players who aren't getting a lot of games, and I think that's an issue. Listen, we're going to move on, because I think we've done that to death. But before we do, Trev, just put all this into context.
Look right. Oh my word! Right. Let's just look at how we ended up. How our run ended up. Right. We've gone to Bayern Munich. You only go away games second leg in the very deep rounds of the Champions League, looking to nick a win. Right. And that's when we got to 0-0 at halftime. I thought we can nick a win. Second half, obviously, we've just discussed that, and it didn't work out. But I'm not overall disappointed with where we've come this season. You know, any Arsenal fan that's looked at where we've been gives Arteta a bit of slack because he's still learning after 4 years. Gives Arteta a bit of slack because of we remember what he inherited. Gives the players a bit of slack because it's their first season in the Champions League for most of them, right? When you put all that into shape, right, and you think that we're in the top two teams in the Premier League, right, and we are in the top eight teams in Europe. Come on, I'm going to have some people that are going to pull me apart for that. But I ain't unhappy with that. I'm unhappy we've not gone further when I knew we could have done. But when I put it in context and I think about the bigger picture this season, I can't be unhappy with it. I'm all right with where we are, Ferg. Especially if, as we know, we buy 2 or 3 quality players in the summer. And we know that our leadership will only buy players that they think are going to improve the Arsenal Football Club. When you pull it all together, we're still in a great place and a much better place than we were when Mikel come in. So Trev, for me...
To summarise, really, you just have to listen to the pundits who are coming back at these people who are on social media and on different media channels who are all trying to capitalise on Arsenal lost against Villa Arsenal lost against Bayern Munich, but they're all saying that, you know, Arsenal are the most improved team, they're the most frightening team that they've seen, that Arteta's done a great job on where he has come. It's not quite 5 years yet. It'll be 5 years in December since he's been in there. And for me, it was always a five-year project. Kroenke's what they do and have done is they employ young managers. They invest heavily in the managers they believe in, and it's a five-year project. Another project that took off, it's probably about 2017, 2018, Dial Square. They are champions of Surrey County Intermediate League, the Western Premier Division. They are picking up their trophy, the league trophy, on Sunday at their ground in Chertsey. If anybody wants a note, they're Aldwyn's Lane, KT1690W, if you want to go down there. There's no ballots. There's no memberships required. You can go down, just have a pint, buy the pitch, and enjoy football. Trev, you love doing that. You do it at Boston United. You do it at all the different grounds.
I do it at Boston Town, Boston United, wherever. I always find a game. If I'm not at the Arsenal, I always find a game if I can. Kieran's just commented. Kieran, great week. Couple of days with you, mate. I hope the head's better. Kieran had a bit of a crash and whacked his head, but I'm sure he's fine. Because
it's a long drop for Kieran as well.
A long way down for Kieran's head. Yeah, I hope he's fine. Yeah, but Ferg, of course, football. Unfortunately, we can't do those kind of things at Premier League games. But I would urge anybody if they're not going to watch their team, find a non-league game and have a pint. You're always welcome in the bars. Have a pint in a bar. Stand beside the pitch with a pint. You never know. You might have a fallout with a Wilson Raider or something. You know what I mean?
But you want some? Yeah.
All good. You want some, mate?
Yeah, you want some. Let's look at the games. I'll tell you what we do. Should we save the Arsenal game to last? And we look at the other games, and then we look at the Arsenal game last. So the first game that we've got on my list. Oh, it's all gone. It's all got Pete Tong here. Luton Brentford. Brentford have won this fixture in December at the GT Stadium. And their form for Luton is they've won one, drawn one, and lost three. And Brentford won one, drawn three, lost one. What are we expecting? Luton's a difficult ground to go to, Alex. Very intimate ground, old fashioned. Luton generally score a goal in nearly every game. I think the only game they didn't score in was against us.
Hence, he's learned his lesson, boys.
Oh, Hente.
Hente, you should know better.
Yeah, we're not sponsored by Betfred or anything like that, I'll tell you
don't
that.
Encourage betting.
Alex, go.
Yeah, like you said, Luton is a tough place to come. And like you said, they usually score. Brentford, they're doing okay at the moment. Couple of draws, as you said, and then they beat Sheffield United, who are a really poor side at the moment, in the last round. They've got Brian Mbeumo back in the squad, and he's actually playing. Tony hasn't been playing for them the last couple of games. He's been on the bench, which is quite annoying if you've got him on your fantasy Premier League team. But yeah, I think it'll be quite an even game. I can see a draw between the two teams tomorrow.
Just quickly, Alex, on your FPL team, mate, who's top of your FPL league?
I'm not talking about FPL more.
You're not doing very well, are you, Alex?
No, I'm not.
I haven't got some big feedback from Dan, boys. I don't know if it's me, but...
Yeah, it's a bit annoying.
Crap laptop, no lights, no microphone. He's not really invested in this, or he's not committed, is he, really? Alex, since you are committed with decent earphones, decent microphone and some lighting, can you give me your score prediction, please?
I will go with a 2-2 score.
2-2. Dan, while we can see you before the light fades in that window, can you give me what your thoughts on the Luton-Brentford game is and your score prediction, please?
It's a bit of the wrong way around, really, isn't it? Because everyone's going to want to see my face and listen to what I say, but they don't really want to see you or listen to you. And you've got all the light and the sound, and I've got the opposite of none. So maybe we should just switch, mate.
Yeah, you couldn't afford it. Go on.
I'm not going to nibble, son. I'm not going to nibble. I think this is the game where Luton get a home win. I think they need to. This is probably the only chance they're going to get to really kickstart their season and save themselves and stay up. So for me, it's going to be Luton to nick it, and I think 2-1.
2-1. Trevor, your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I agree with Dan. I think Luton
are going to win. Is that on Luton or is that on what I said about Ferg that you agree with me on?
Both. Yeah. I'm going for a Luton win. I think Luton are going to beat Brentford 3-1. I do. I think we're going to see a few goals, but Brentford will get, Luton will get three of them. But Henty, that doesn't mean you have to waste your money betting on the load of crap that I talk or any of us do. We're here for a laugh, Henty. Don't waste your money, son.
Henty worked out the average scores that we went with. So, Henty, just so you can, if you do decide to do it again, my score for prediction for this.
By the way, just an important point on the game. Brentford, they can secure Premier League football next season mathematically if they win the game against Luton.
Okay. I'm going 2-1 Luton. I think Luton are going to get a home win. The next game we're looking at is also at 3 o'clock on Saturday. It's Sheffield United versus Burnley. It could be a 10-all game, but I think it's probably got to be a nil-all game. Honours are even with two wins each and one draw of the five Premier League meetings. Burnley won this the home game 5-0 in December. Sheffield's form are they've won none, drawn three and lost two. Burnley, slightly better form, winning one, drawing three and lost one. Trevor, what's your thoughts on this game? Company's done okay.
Yeah, it's not the most exciting game to look at on paper, is it? But often these games at this time of the season, you know, when it's two teams down the bottom scrapping, turns out to be a very decent game of football to watch, you know. So I might even choose that one as my early Saturday viewing, I think. And do you know what? I was just about to say, and Demsek popped it up there. I'm in absolute agreement with Demsek. I think home advantage for Sheffield United will see them to a 2-0 win, Fergus.
2-0. Dan, your thoughts on this one? Sheffield are the worst team that we've seen this season, home and away.
I hate to say it, but I agree with you, Fergus.
Oh, my Lord.
Can't believe I just said that, mate. But I agree. Yeah, I am. I agree with Fergus, but probably the only time I'm ever going to do it. So I just feel like Sheffield United are just that little bit worse than Burnley. And again, I think this is more just out of looking at what normally happens at this stage of the season is a team, even if they go down, they have to start fighting a bit more at some stage. And I just feel like Burnley might win this game just to give themselves a little bit of hope and false hope. So I'm going to go 2-1 Burnley.
2-1 Burnley. Alex, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, really difficult game to predict. As all of you said, both teams have been quite shocking this season and are likely to go down. I think just because of the home, I think Burnley are the better team, but I think the home advantage will help Sheffield just a little bit and enough for them to get a draw. So I'm going with 2-2.
2-2 at Desmond. Desmond.
Yes.
Arsenal play 7:30. I thought it was 5:30 originally when I wrote the notes, but 7:30 tomorrow evening. We'll talk about that game shortly, but first of all, we'll talk about the 1:30 kickoff on Sky. This one is a battle to beat the drop. It's Everton versus Forest. It's the 13th time these clubs have faced each other in the top flight. Everton have won 7, Forest 4. There's only been 2 draws. Both clubs have been deducted points because of PSR, FFP, whatever you want to call it. Everton's form is they've won 1, drawn 1 and lost 3. Forest have won 1, drawn 3 and lost 1. I've gone for an away win because Everton just seem to be in free fall no matter how much they try. Calvert Klein or whatever you call him, Calvert Lewin. I did that on purpose as well.
Yeah, all right, mate. All right.
Of course you did.
Calvert Lewin just couldn't score in Rooney's favourite place, you know. So I've gone for 2-1 to Forest. Dan, I'll go to you first.
He's trying to be nice to me now, isn't he? Look, I don't like him when he's nice to me first. It worked, mate.
You know why I'm trying to be nice to you? Because I got a better hat than you. Look. There, look.
The red. Does this one fit your head, mate?
It does. It's adult size. You don't need the child size like the
UF. For anyone that doesn't realise, Berg's tried his hat on. And at the back of the hat, obviously, you have the little buttons and bits like that. And he had it completely open, tried to put it on his head, and it still didn't fit him.
And it struggled on little Theo's head.
No, I've got a picture where it fits in perfectly, mate. You've got a child shaped. No, you've got a massive head.
Go on. Everton versus Forest.
Can we not talk about your forehead size? It's a lot more exciting than talking about Everton versus Forest, if I'm honest, mate. But
you can all you like, but people aren't interested.
Oh, they are. They love it. I think this one is going to be a very tight game. I mean, I'm expecting, as I said, I think Luton and Burnley will pick up points on the Saturday before this game is played. Everton's away form is actually not too bad. I think they sit, like, is it 12th or 13th away from home?
They're playing home.
Well, that's lucky because they're at home, Dan.
Wait, are Everton at home?
Mm.
Oh, God, I'm spending too much time.
That's why I said Everton versus Forest.
Oh, okay. Oh, I might have changed my prediction.
Should we cancel his contract?
Yeah.
Listen, I've had a lot of things this week.
Trev, I was going to even go and buy him a ring light just to, like, you know, but I'm not now.
I wouldn't want to be anywhere near his ring after the beer he's drunk. <last week.
laughs> I agree with you as well there, Trev.
Go on.
Agreeing with a lot of you lot today.
Back on topic.
Well, I've got to rethink my prediction now because I've just realised Everton's at home.
Alex, your thoughts on this game, then we'll come back to him on that.
Yeah, I think Everton were shocking against Chelsea, obviously, conceded 6 goals, and they have been really leaky for the past couple of games. I like the way Forest are playing. They've got some good players, Gibbs White, some pace on the wings. I think Forest will win 2-1.
2-1, you're matching me, Trevor.
Yeah, I'm the other way completely. Everton have had a habit the last few seasons of picking up right in them last two or three games, few games, and home advantage, both two average teams. I've got Everton to win it 2-0, mate. I think Everton will win it on Sunday.
Dan, sorry, what do you say your prediction was, Trevor? Sorry, I didn't write it down.
2-0. 2-0 Everton.
2-0 Everton. Dan, have you decided yet?
I have. I've just quickly looked at some stats on the side, mate, and pretending that I'm a little bit sort of up to date with what's happening here. I think it's going to be 1-1. I'm going to go for a draw. The fact that I think Everton maybe is not as great at home. I think they get under pressure at home at Goodison, if I'm honest, with their fans. And Forest's away form is also terrible. I think they'll both take a point each.
Okay, next up is Aston Villa versus Bournemouth. Villa are the only English team left in Europe, winning on penalties against Lille in the Europa Conference League. Unai Emery is doing a great job. He's currently sitting fourth on the table on 63 points, ahead of Spurs on 60 points, who do have a game in hand. Some of the top players include Ollie Watkins, who is third in the Golden Boot race on 19 goals. Only Haaland and Palmer are ahead of him on 20 goals. Bournemouth have greatly improved with Iraola. Done it, who replaces Gary O'Neill, who's now at Wolves. Bournemouth are safe. They're in 13th place on 42 points. They've played each other on 7 occasions. Bournemouth have won 4 of the meetings, and Villa 2. And there was a draw. The last time they met was 2-2. Villa's form are 1-2, drawn 2, lost 1. And Bournemouth have a better form with winning 3, drawing 1 and losing 1. Alex, I'll go to you first on this.
Yeah, I mean, even though we're still quite pissed off about Villa from last weekend, I mean, kudos to Emery. I don't think many people would have had him in the top 4 by now in the Premier League. And I mean, I guess all Arsenal fans will want Villa to win because it's about certain now that the 5th place isn't getting Champions League. So, I think a lot of us Arsenal fans would rather see Emery and Villa in the Champions League than Spurs. So hopefully Villa will win, and I think they will because, as you said, Bournemouth haven't really got anything to play for. And Villa on home as well. Yeah, I'm going for a 3-1 Villa win.
I've gone for 3-2 for Villa as well. Trev, what are you going on this one?
Josh Kroenke went to Spain in a Ford Fiesta. brought us back a manager, Super Mick Arteta, can't get out of my head. It's there. I'm singing it for the rest of the season. Right, Villa Bournemouth. Yeah, I think Villa will. Villa. Someone just mentioned in the comments, Villa didn't play very well midweek, but they've got through. And I think they'll beat Bournemouth. Although Bournemouth are capable of a surprise victory or a good performance. But I think Villa will win at home. I'm going to go Villa to win 3-1 to cement that fifth place a bit more.
And will also make us an awful lot happier as well if that did happen, because it means all that piss taking that I've had from Spurs fans going, oh, Villa beat you, oh, Bayern Munich, Harry Kane knocked you out, gone, yeah, that's fine. But because Arsenal didn't progress, because West Ham didn't progress, and Liverpool didn't progress, and Villa beat us last weekend, it just means that Tottenham are on Thursday nights and Sundays. Dan, thoughts on this game?
Exactly that. Isn't football a weird and wonderful thing where I've gone from hating Villa last week to now hoping they win?
Yeah.
But do you know what? On paper, this is a game that looks like a slip-up, because most teams that play Thursday, Sunday, they tend to have a little bit of a slip-up on the Sunday, and Bournemouth's form's pretty decent. But I just feel like Villa will win it. I feel like they're just going to come back into a bit of form and finish the season strongly and finish above that lot down the road. So I'm going to go with a 2-1 win for Villa.
2-1 for Villa. Okay, the next game that we've got is also a 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. West Ham, who've just been knocked out of the Europa League. Evenly matched these two teams, Crystal Palace versus West Ham. Met each other 25 times, Palace winning 8, West Ham winning 9. Bowen, a late fitness test, but I think he'll probably be available. Paqueta should be available. And if they are, that's key to West Ham winning or getting any sort of result of this game. Palace have been quite a surprise. They did an okay against City, lost 4-2, but they did okay a couple of weeks ago. And they got a surprising win against Liverpool last week, winning 1-0 against Liverpool. Palace's form is winning 1, drawing 2, losing 2. West Ham are winning 1, drawing 2 and losing 2. So same form. Trevor, what's your thoughts on this? I'm going for a 3-0 away win to West Ham.
You done me like a kipper, and I was just on a muted moment. Crystal Palace, West Ham, they are two evenly matched sides, and I honestly think the result of this game does figure a lot around whether Jarrod Bowen plays. You all know I've been praising him all season, thinking I really rate the lad. So I'm gonna play it like a close game. I'm going for a 2-2, Ferg. I think Palace with the home advantage, West Ham if Bowen plays. It's got draw written all over it for me, mate.
Yeah, you done me with that. Alex, what's your thoughts on this and not on these mute moments?
Yeah, I agree. I think it would be quite a close game, but I do think Palace at home will get the win. Essay and Elisa, they've started to pick up some form recently, and I think they'll shine against a tired West Ham team. So I'm going for 2-1.
2-1 to Palace.
Yeah.
And Dan, your thoughts on this one?
I can't call this game, so I'm going to have to go with a draw. I've just been a little bit more impressed with Palace's performances recently. Obviously,
are you Tottenham in disguise? Are you Tottenham in disguise? Butler.
I definitely ain't Tottenham in disguise, mate.
Yeah, but he just bottled it. You wouldn't pick a result.
I'll tell you what, if he said that to me, Dan, I'd have been on my way to Loughton now to square him, I tell you, for nothing.
Dan. The thing is, Trevor is Tottenham. Born N15, brought up N15. He's a Tottenham boy, through and through.
Born I'll tell you what you are, mate.
Born and bred. I hope Billy Amison's watching this back, I'll tell you, because he'll do me a favour and he will hunt you down, Fergus Keating.
He's got the experience, yeah. He's done SAS and everything, he has. Go on, Dan.
Fergus, call yourself an Arsenal fan. Can't believe it. Can't believe he said that. to Trevor of all people, the iconic. If anyone's here, a Trevor fan is watching this, you know, you can see Trevor Fergus's Twitter below. Jump on his Twitter handle and give him some abuse that he deserves, please, for that comment.
Yes. Ooh, trolling.
Yeah, troll, don't troll. Just give him your name and, yeah.
Here we go, Dan.
Did you get a bit upset last night when Kevin Nolan got in the middle of all that fighting? Was you there ready to?
I didn't watch it, mate. I didn't watch it. Can you just give us your prediction on the Crystal Palace West Ham game, please?
Well, I'm predicting that Fergus gets battered everywhere he goes, mate. After that,
yeah, comment. I think so.
So, I as I said, I can't split the themes. I think Palace have looked a lot better lately, even outside of the Liverpool game. I think their performances have picked up. I expect West Ham after a tough game to be a little bit flatter. Palace at home, so I'm just going to go for a 1-1 draw.
1-1 draw. And the last game over the weekend, aside from our game, is Fulham versus Liverpool. Liverpool crashed out of Europe, lost last weekend, and Fulham have been strong at home, beating Arsenal and Spurs, and giving a lot of people really, really difficult games at the Cottage. Pellini is fit, and he's keen. He's the key to making Fulham tick. With the extra rest as well, Fulham will have because Liverpool played on Thursday night last night. I've gone for a 2-0 home win to Fulham, which would be really, really make it really interesting for everybody. Fulham's form is 2 wins, 1 draw, and 2 losses. Liverpool's 2 wins, 2 draws, and 1 loss. Trevor, what's your thoughts on this game?
I agree with you. Fergus, I agree with you, son. I agree with you because taking your Arsenal blinkers off here, right? Take your Arsenal blinkers off because we all want Fulham to beat Liverpool, right? So we're all going to sway towards Fulham. But as I just said, take your Arsenal blinkers off and you can make a case for Fulham getting a result here. You really can. They've had some great results at home. They've beaten us. They've beaten, although we didn't turn up that day, but that was our worst performance of the season, in my view.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've done Tottenham. They've played really well at home. And I honestly think they can nick a win. I do. I think Fulham could win it 1-0, Ferg. I think Fulham get an early goal and hang on for dear life till the end. Beautiful.
Dan, what do you think?
I think Liverpool at the minute are starting to remind me a little bit of us last season, and I honestly feel like they're under a lot of pressure. Liverpool, they're struggling to finish their chances, but I can see this being a really high scoring game, and especially if Fulham score first, where Liverpool have to chase it. And I think Liverpool will chase to the extent where they open up and get punished a couple of times, because Fulham are a really good side, especially at home, and they've got some good players in their team. So I'm going to go for a high scoring draw here. I think Fulham will get something at home. And I'm going to go for a 3-3 draw.
3-3, Alex.
Yeah. It's a difficult one because, I mean, Liverpool, they haven't scored an open play for 3 games now. The last time they scored an open play was against Manchester United. So they are really struggling to score. And the question is whether they're gonna bounce back and do so against Fulham, which are a tough side. I'm not quite sure. I think they will score, but I think Fulham will. Sorry?
Have the wheels fallen off for Klopp?
I mean, hopefully they kind of have, because they crashed out of Europe against Atalanta side, who, I mean, they should beat. They lost 3-0 at home. Shocking result. And then they lost against Palace. So I think they've fallen off as much as they have for Arteta as well. I'm saying 1-1. I could see Fulham getting a result as well. And hopefully we can capitalize and put pressure on them as well, because we have to remember the psychological effects it has of playing first as well. So if we manage to get a win tomorrow, the pressure will be on them in a difficult game. But yeah, I'm going 1-1.
Okay. Yeah, it was good to see, Andy said, good to see Trev on telly. I was actually very disappointed because, you know, they didn't get in touch with me, being his agent and everything else. You know, we're meant to agree what pictures are shown and when you're shown. I was really, really disappointed, Trevor. Did they talk to you about it, or was that just the Germans taking over?
No, that was Finnish TV before the game hunted me down and we did a little interview. I've not seen the clip yet, but I've been told it was all right. I wasn't too slurry. But TNT have piled in quick there without my knowledge, so I'm not very happy. I don't think my agent's doing a very good job. I might sack him. Danny, you're interested, mate.
In sacking him, I'd love to sack him for you, mate.
Well, listen, your agent gets a lot of PR out there for you. Look, you even got the canvases on the wall. There we go, right behind you. You got these two.
Alex, what was you actually thinking when you got your arms across like that there? You look like you're pumping yourself up, mate.
I was in the middle of doing this. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It looks horrible, though. I agree.
It doesn't. It looks good. It looks good.
Listen, before we move on to our game, we must take a moment to pay respects to Sir Chip Keswick. Sadly died, I think, at the age of 84 on the 17th, 2 days ago. The news I got yesterday and has now been announced officially by the club today. Trevor, we've done the history thing and we know some. I don't know a huge amount about Sir Chips, but I know he was like an Arsenal boyhood fan. He wanted to be a goalkeeper. He's followed it since he was this high.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I'm not very wise on Sir Chips Keswick. All I know is that he kept quite a low profile. He was never putting himself out there, was he? But nobody had a bad word to say about him that I know of. And my thoughts are just with his family and his friends, mate.
Mm. 348 of you watching on all various platforms, 349. Do go to Guns and Ribbons on Twitter, our X as it's called now, our Guns and Yellow Ribbons on all other social media, including YouTube. Subscribe to the channel and get informed when we go live. We're going to talk about the Arsenal versus Wolves game, which is the last game that we're going to talk about this weekend. Wolves versus Arsenal. Paul Tierney is the assistant, is the referee assistant to Scott Ledger. When I see Paul Tierney and David Coutts, I always get worried about this. A defeat in the Champions League on Wednesday night means Arsenal have only won two of the last six matches in all competitions. Arsenal fans do not need reminding that this time last year is when it all went a little bit wobbly and went wrong. Beginning with a draw at Liverpool on the 9th of April, Arsenal won only three of their final nine games. Arteta has a reason to believe that it won't happen because we've got a stronger side this time, more experienced and more resilient, but we have got some tough fixtures ahead. Our away form has been virtually immaculate and rarely tested in 2024. So far, we've played Forest, West Ham, Burnley, Sheffield, Man City and Brighton away. Our remaining three away fixtures are Wolves, Spurs and Man United. It's going to be a tough ask. Dan, what do you do with the lineups? How do you change the lineups? What do you do with the lineups? Where are you going and thinking about this game?
I don't think you change too much, right? You've got to look at our form, and the draw against City is a good draw, in my opinion. We've had a shock result at home to Villa, which we've not had too many shocks like that this season. The Champions League, I think you can take out of that. And I sort of near enough disregard that in our recent form. So the way I see it is that we're still in good form in the Premier League. We've been playing well. There has been a slight drop off in converting our chances. And maybe we just need to freshen up one or two up top. But I expect us to go there and lay a marker down a little bit. I feel like we're still a different side to last year, and I'm not expecting us to go in the same sort of form as we did last year. And as Alex said earlier, we've got two games now before Man City even play. And with the likes of Declan Rice and Jorginho that are now in that team, I expect them to pick the boys up and to lay down a marker against Wolves and also against Chelsea, and 6 points out of six in the next two games. So I do think maybe I'd like to see Havertz still up top, but maybe Martinelli in for out for Trossard. I think Saka, if he's fit, still has to start. You might see a rotation in midfield, maybe a Partey given some minutes if he's fully fit, and then a very similar back five to normal, but not too many changes for me. Oh, Fergus, you're on mute.
You're on mute, mate.
Make yourself off mute, Fergus.
I don't know. I don't know how that. I don't know how it happened. Alex, Dan mentioned he might want to have Trossard in place of Martinelli. Trossard averages a goal every 218 minutes as a starter. In comparison, it's one every 86 minutes when he comes off the bench. Would you still like to go with Dan's suggestion?
Yeah, I think Trossard would fit the game quite well. I mean, I do think he is best when we're controlling the game, and he is quite good in tight spaces as well. And he is one that is actually a good finisher, like we saw in the home game against Munich. And we have to win tomorrow. Wolves, they have five of their arguably best players are out of the game tomorrow.
Samido, all right.
Yeah, and their fullback, Ait Nouri, as well.
I did have that one down, but I couldn't pronounce it, so I didn't mention it.
Neto as well, who we've been after as well. He isn't playing, so...
Neto is reported to be good enough for the bench, so could get on.
Yeah, could get on, but he's definitely not starting. So, I mean, they are injury-riddled, and we have a fully fit squad, fully available squad at least. So we have to win. I think I'd like to see Thomas Partey get some minutes. I do think Jorginho did okay against Munich, but he just offers something on the ball, which I've missed a bit at times. So I do want to see Thomas Partey play. I think Tomiyasu actually did really well against Munich. I don't know if he got injured. I remember him being down at one point, but I'm not sure if he's... I don't think Arteta said anything about it. So he should be fit and ready to go. I agree with Dan. We shouldn't change too much because... It is really just the Villa result. And then, yeah, take the Munich game out of the equation. I don't think we have to, I don't think we have to change too much. We're just going to be more clinical in front of goal. And yeah, Trossard could start. Jesus could start as well. I think we have to remember how good he can be, Jesus, even though...
If you have Trossard and Jesus starting, who are you resting? Saka?
No, I'd start either Trossard or Jesus. And then, like Dan said, I'd start Saka if he's fit. And then I'd have Odegaard, Rice and Partey in midfield. And then White, Saliba, Gabriel, Tomiyasu and Raya as a back five. I wouldn't change too much.
No, I agree. I wouldn't do it a huge amount. Trevor, Arsenal vying for six consecutive wins against Wolves. We've scored 32 goals in our past meetings with them. And we're 37 goals, too short of equalising our club record in the Premier League, which was set in 2010-2011. So, you know, Alex talked about being clinical and you know, putting teams to a sword. We really, really, really need to do this against Wolves tomorrow evening.
Yeah, look. I'm not too worried about our lack of goals. We had a lack of goals over Christmas, didn't we? We're still making loads of chances, but couldn't put a ball in the net. I think that's going to come back tomorrow. The interesting point that was raised there is about who we play. And I'm a firm believer, as Alex knows, because we've had a chat about it, of putting out, we put our strongest side out now till the end of the season. And if we get injuries or we get tired, then we deal with that when it comes, right? But an interesting one for me, right, is that I want to see two out of three of Rice, Partey and Jorginho on the pitch at all times for the Arsenal, right? All times. I don't care what the situation is. My personal view, and that's what we're here to say, is that we look a better side in all ways when we've got two out of them three players on the field. When we took off Jorginho on Wednesday night against Munich, we could have still brought Partey on, because what would Partey have done? Partey would have allowed Declan Rice to move and be more creative. And that would have been more of a goal threat than what we had on the bench to bring on, in my opinion, right?
But why didn't we?
You what?
Why didn't we?
Well, I don't know. My name's not Mikel Arteta, is it, Duff lad? My name's Ilze the Gooner, you know what I mean? So the only person that could ever answer that question is Mikel Arteta.
So as Ilze the Gooner and... understanding football and understanding Arsenal Football Club as well as you do, what would that make you feel that
Excuse me, Mikel. Mikel, we made a damn stupid question.
Moving swiftly on.
I wondered if you killed me out. You know what I mean? Yeah, he's hard work, Mikel. You're right. Have you heard of him? Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Little bugger, yeah. All right, mate. I'm off. Carry on. Nice win tomorrow. Thank you.
Adios.
Anyway, he says, actually, he said it's none of your bloody business, Ferg, what he does, to be honest. So, yeah, but come on, being sensible again for a minute, right? I honestly think we look a better side with them three, with Partey, Rice and Jorginho, two of them three. Even when we're chasing a goal like on Wednesday, take Jorginho, but bring Partey on and push Rice up the field, because Rice has shown he can score a goal this season. Rice has shown he can play further forward and be inventive. And for me, that's a bigger threat, as I've just said, than what we've got on the bench to bring on at this period in Arsenal's history. Next season, it may be differently. Tomorrow, I think our strongest side, once again, will be two of them three. I want to see Martinelli back in. I want to see Trossard coming off the bench. I want to see Havertz keeping his big 6'4" frame right in the final third of the field all game, unless we're under severe pressure. Of course, he helps out. I think Saka's due a good game. I think Saka is due to have a good game. He's been marked out of a lot of games, but he's due. And as for the back, the only worry at the back at the moment is left back, isn't it? And I think at the moment with the left back, Ferg, we're horses for courses. You know, we play who we need to play. And unless he's injured, I'd stick with Tomiyasu against Villa, mate. I would.
Dan, your thoughts on the game? And also, can you answer the conundrum of why, when you've got a decent player in Jorginho and Jorginho allows Rice to play, that we don't rotate him with Partey?
Dan, do you want to borrow my phone?
Well, do you know what? I was just going to say, before I get on there, the thing that done me, mate, we need some change of these little captions here on here, because I reckon you can change yours, though, to Duff Lad.
Duff Lad.
Oh, that done me there. Do you know what? I think it's just down to the minutes that Partey's had in his leg so far and the injuries he's had. Because for me, a fit Thomas Partey still walks into that team. But the reason I think he's not got as many minutes lately is just down to Jorginho's form and how well he's done. And I think we've got to sort of applaud him for how well he's done since he's come in. Because I'm not going to lie, it's been a little bit of a shock. I didn't expect him to perform as well as he did. So the only reason I'm suggesting bringing Partey in for Wolves is just, I think at Jorginho's age, can he be playing every 3 days at the minute? Maybe he just needs a break to play against Chelsea. And I don't think I'd really bring Partey in against Chelsea at the minute, given his sort of lack of minutes. So I wouldn't say it's down to having sort of KT treatment or anything like that with Partey. I just think he's going to be easing him back in. The rest of it, I think I agree with everything that you guys just said in terms of the lineup. You play your strongest side. I just feel like at the minute, Martinelli maybe is a bit in and out of form. And just sometimes when players are out of form, you just need a little drop to the bench and get them to push and fight their way back in the team. And it's a little bit like that with Jesus. And I just wanted to comment on Jesus, because I think we've got to be very careful with him in that I don't want this to turn into another Lacazette situation with Jesus, in that a year ago we were just saying how good Jesus was, how much he transformed our team, how well he presses, and that we changed into a completely different side with him coming in. And all of a sudden, he's lost a little bit of confidence. He's missing chances. His conversion rate's very low. And it's exactly what happened with Lacazette. And everyone got on his back. And I think we need to be careful of doing that with Jesus. So I'd say stick with him. He's a very, very good striker still. I do see him long-term, as I said a few times, as being cover for the wide men. But that doesn't mean he can't come in and do a very good job.
I think he's just been unlucky this season with fitness. He hasn't maintained his fitness as well as he did the previous season. He was out for 5 or 6 games in a trot last season, and then he went on a run. And he's only had 5 or 6 goals this season for Arsenal.
Rhythm is key for footballers. To be playing week in, week out, it makes a big, big difference. And as I say, I think he's in a similar situation to Thomas Partey to me.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Score predictions on this one. Dan, since you were last talking, what's your score prediction for this game?
Clean sheet, back to business, scoring goals, and 3-0.
3-0. Alex, your score prediction?
Dan's just taken the words out of my mouth. I was just about to say 3-0 as well. I think we'll keep a clean sheet and get back to our goal scoring ways. Havertz goal tomorrow as well, I want to see.
And Trevor, your score prediction?
Well, boys, we're all in agreement. I mean, we don't never play that badly at Wolves. We've had some backs to the wall victories at Wolves where we've had to dig in. But I think we'll come back firing on all cylinders tomorrow. I genuinely do. The scoring drought will be gone. And I'm going for 3-0 to the Arsenal.
I'm also saying there'll be 3 goals scored at the Molyneux. I'm going 2 for Arsenal, 1 for Wolves. So, yeah, it's 3 goals on all accounts, but mine is slightly out from that. Listen, 378 watching. You know what, Trev? This is your idea, this was. These preview shows. And they're absolutely brilliant. They're really enjoyable. Just to talk not just about Arsenal, but about all the other games, just like a little bit briefly. Brilliant idea. I hope people are enjoying it. If you do like what we're doing, let us know in the chat or, you know, send us a tweet or something like that. Yeah. Trev, you enjoying them?
Yeah, I'm love Fergus. You know me, mate. I'm very wary, always have been all my life, about who I communicate with and who I'm close to. And when you first asked me, what was it, 5 years ago or more now, Fergus, to start doing this stuff, I said no for a while, and then I thought about it, and then I've joined you in, and I've grown to like it more and more all the time, Fergus. And I mentioned it to you, so it was both of our ideas really to do this show just before the weekend and talk about other clubs. And I think it's nice just to change the narrative a little bit. You know, we've spoken about Arsenal all night tonight, really, but we've mixed it up with other stuff. And I think that lightens the mood and it makes more people have an interest in it. I just want to see more people putting their score predictions into the comments column, because I really do find it interesting how people think about these games. So, yeah, I'm loving every minute of it, Fergus. I'm going to let you get on there and carry on. But I have got an early warning system. I've got 30 seconds of Trev time to go whenever.
Before we do Trev time, we have to do this. Absolutely love that every time. And there's so much talk about the song being an anthem and it belonging to the club. Boys, before we let Trevor loose, you enjoying the show and enjoying the format? Alex, this is your first time on the preview show. How have you enjoyed it?
First time. You must have short memory, mate. I think I've been on here 3 or 4 times before.
Your first time this month?
Yeah, it's been, to be fair, it's been a couple of weeks since I've been on here. I've been busy, so it's really nice to be back on the podcast. And I do enjoy these preview shows as well. Good talking about some of the other teams as well, even though some of us might have slightly rose tinted glass on. I'm not looking at you, Trevor. But yeah, I really enjoy it. And yeah, just it's weird. Like 2 years ago, we met each other, all of us, and it feels like I've known you guys for ages. It's the weirdest thing ever.
It is. It's been intense for sure. Dan, we haven't forgotten, but we're not gone into detail. Man City played Chelsea and Man United played Coventry in the FA Cup. If you were to choose who you'd like to see in the final out of those four, who would you like to see? I know what I'd like.
Fergus, before I answer your question, mate, that's an all-time low. I know you messed up many, many things, but poor old Alex being on this show, that's an all-time low, mate. I'm sorry.
Moving on.
Before I get on to the FA Cup, I've got something I want to ask you guys, because I've got a package delivered, right? So live on camera. On Saturday tomorrow. What am I wearing, lad?
Oh, Bruce Banana. It's an away game.
Got the Bruce Banana one. And then
it's an away game.
We're playing in red, though. And they are absolutely beautiful, both of them.
Dan, if you lose bananas, one about four sizes too big, can I have it, please?
Go on, pick one each year. Which one am I wearing? We'll have a gun.
Red and white. We're playing red and white. Do red and white.
Red. 1-0. 2-0.
Wear the red one tomorrow. Save the blue one for the following week.
It's not blue, it's yellow.
I said yellow and blue. Well, no, I said blue and yellow.
You said blue.
Back to your FA Cup choice. Who would I like to win it? Coventry, because I don't want any other lot to win it. Let's pick up Coventry. Good luck to them.
Yeah. Right, here we go.
Well, firstly, the FA Cup, I don't care who wins, whatever. I just hope that Man City's game goes to 0-0 after full-time, 0-0 after extra time, goes to penalties, and everyone in their team gets injured. I know that's savage, but that's the way it is. Look, boys, right, I've got to be serious for a minute now, and I'm going to name no names, right? And I'm not picking any arguments, but someone made a statement today, and I'd like to make a statement in reply, and this has come from me. I've not discussed this with the lads, so if you're not happy with this, blame the lad. Blame me, not the lads, right? Someone put a statement out today, right, about women being scared to go to men's football, and it's quite honestly offended me. It's offended me quite deeply. Only at the Munich game the other night, a young lady come over to me, tapped me on the shoulder and said, "You're Ilsey, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "Well, I've come over to thank you. About a year ago, I was talking to you on Twitter and saying I wanted to go to an away game in Europe and I didn't know how to do it. She said, you had a chat with me. You got my confidence up and I'm here on my own. My first ever away game in Europe, I've come on my own." And this was before all this broke today. And she thanked me and she was a lovely lady. And then, of course, we've got another lady, another young girl who I won't name, who goes to a lot of away games in Europe on her own. I saw her on Wednesday night. She came back on the metro with us. And I said to her when she got off, just make sure you drop us all a message just to get back to your hotel safely, you know. So offended me. I've never seen a woman get upset at a man's game at the Emirates. I dare say it has happened. That happens in life. But what I will say is that if there's anybody out there, man, woman, child, anybody, and they're worried about going to a game, or they're worried about how they do it, or they're worried about how they'll fit in, drop us a message at Guns and Yellow Ribbons. I will more than happily put you right. And do not, on the strength of that statement made today, my statement is to anybody, man or women, thinking about going to their first game on their own or how safe they will be, there's another side to it. There's another side to it. I've never seen a lady get offended at the Emirates. They're looked after. And that's it for me.
Trevor, I couldn't agree with you more. The story broke yesterday as you were travelling back from Munich. The commentator, ex-sports person, made the statement, and we came out and talk sport and various things. And I was in the car, my wife travelling back up from our holiday. And I went, that's absolutely ridiculous, because we only have to think of, in our company, we got Polly.
Don't name any names. No, we don't need to name names. Okay. They might not want us to, you know.
We've got friends in our company. I know loads of other people. Think about the time me and Dan were in Lens. You know, women at Arsenal especially, but any club, I've not experienced it. You will get idiots. And this is what I said to my wife. You'll get idiots everywhere. Whether you go down Tesco's or you go down Sainsbury's or down your local pub, you'll get an idiot who will just say something or be inappropriate in some way. But football, that person who I won't name, who came out with that statement, was talking absolute twaddle.
Ferg, absolutely. I was honestly, and I'm a tough-skinned old bugger, we all know that, I was really offended this morning that I was categorized in that statement. I can only speak personally for me. I've never seen anyone get abused at the Emirates. I dare say it has happened, but as you rightly said, Fergus, it happens anywhere in life. Anybody I see who I know always gets a peck on the cheek and how you're doing and make sure you're all right from me. And as I said, only on Wednesday night, and Dan knows this, because Alex, you'd gone home, Alex, early. Dan knows this. I had a lady come up to me. It was wonderful. It made me smile.
It was on the concourse, wasn't it?
It made me smile. She just came from nowhere and went, "You're Hillsy. Thank you so much for giving me the confidence to come to a game in Europe as a single lady." And I went, "You are so very welcome. So very welcome." And then after the game, we met with one of our really good friends, and she goes to games on her own in Europe away. And she would have been fine getting home on her own, but we made sure she was all right. So people out there, that statement today had an audience of millions and millions and millions and millions. I've got an audience of 391. And I'm telling you, there's absolutely two sides to that statement today. And from my perspective, the young lady that made that statement hasn't done her homework, and she's very wrong. That's it. I'm saying no more.
Do you know what, Trevor? I'd say there's only one side to that, and it's the side of the people actually go to games and actually mix with the crowds. And this is from a comment from a person in a privileged position that hasn't gone to games and been in that position in recent years, like most people do. And you haven't got to just limit this to women. You can mention people of all ages, old, young. It doesn't matter. Everyone that comes round, for example, our block in Block 5, everyone is welcome. I'll tell you the only people that are not welcome, people that are going to cause trouble, the people that don't want to join in with the singing. That's it. And I don't know. I feel like it's a bit of an attention-seeking, ridiculous comment. And it's not. It's a comment that's not out of context with things that have been said before from that person. So I think it shows.
Exactly. It is absolutely in the context of that person of what they've done in the past. You know.
But the thing is, Trevor. She carried on with the statement, and she went, "It's not. I don't physically feel safe at attending games, and also online." Well, online, as we all know, and we've joked about it, and the toxicity of Twitter and all those places. Online is completely different than
mate. Have you seen what I've been the butt of for getting my big fat belly out? You know what I mean? And acting like a bit of an idiot. But online is online. Online is faceless keyboard trolls. I don't even take any notice of them. And you're right, Fu. But this moved the goalposts. This actually was a statement that said that someone that comes to the ground that I go to watch my team wouldn't feel safe.
I felt very personal about it, because I felt she was talking about people like me who go to games, that I would treat another person, a woman or a younger person or another male, I don't care, I treat somebody badly like that. For me, as Dan said, you come around Block 5, say hello to me, I'll generally give you a hug and shake your hand and everything else, unless you want to go, "What, you freaking talk to them?" Then I'll tell you, move on, don't sing that ear. But just enjoy yourselves. The 90 minutes of football is secondary. We all do go for the football, but it's secondary to the whole event, the whole day. Be it, you think
stop,
that...
It's still number one. The football's still number one. The Arsenal was still number one.
No, absolutely. But you think, like in our intro, our exit video, there's pictures of us in the Woodbine. And there's some friends of ours, they're ladies in there as well. And how many games have we got home and away? And generally, there's one or two ladies in our company. You know,
I don't think you should limit it to just male or female, honestly. I think the comments like that, they incite hate. And it's not necessary, because that isn't the picture of modern day football. And football has changed a lot in recent years.
Isn't it strange, Dan? We had that great conversation on the train coming home yesterday, and then that story breaks this morning. Dan and myself, we had a long chat on the train yesterday, along similar lines. It was a little bit more expanded than just ladies and gentlemen and first time visitors to grounds, but it was along the same lines. But I think we've said it. I think we've said enough now, boys. I'm fuming. I'm absolutely fuming that after today, someone that was thinking about coming to watch my great club is now thinking twice when they don't need to.
Mate, and just to finish up on it, like, you know, we talked about it in the history series a couple of summers ago about when the National Front tried to infiltrate West Ham and Chelsea and different clubs around the world, around the country in the late 70s, 80s. But we had at the Arsenal, we didn't have any of it. And the Arsenal is probably one of the most inclusive clubs going. Denton and other people that are still around today. Sadly, Denton is, I never met the man, but they fended them off. But they were of every colour, creed, size, religion, everything else. We are the Arsenal, and that's what we are, the Arsenal. We're not man, woman, child, black, white, green, yellow. So, listen, it's getting deep. Alex, you kept your counsel there. Probably best.
Did Fergie just say it's getting deep again? He loves to drop in a little comment.
No, I just stayed silent because I completely agree with everything you said. And, yeah, you said it well. So, I think it's best to just close it and, yeah, keep on being gents that we are, the football, and enjoy all kind of people that go to the football.
Yeah, and just on the final thing before we close, Demsek put a comment up there. Originally, most of the fans were women. And do you remember that one when we're talking about, was it Plumstead or was it the Invicta Ground, Trevor? And they said that in the Victorian times, it was a place where people liked to socialise. And because it was all with the captains and the military people, there would be 4,100. The women got in for free then. 4,100 women at a football game. It's just, yeah.
Listen, Ferg, I get what you're saying, right? And you're right in what you say. But we've drifted too far from the point.
Yeah, we have.
We made now. The point that needed to be made was made. In reaction to someone else that made a statement earlier today, it doesn't. I get what you're saying, Ferg, and I'm not knocking you for it. No. But we don't need to expand that. We don't. We said what we needed to say. We didn't need to take it into any other areas. It's not required. People know what we're like, and so we're fine. I'm going to lift the mood a bit now, Fergus. Once again, I'm not going to name any names, but when we got to the airport yesterday, I had a lovely chat for an hour with a man that's a good friend of mine, an amazing Arsenal fan, and he's given us some fantastic ideas for some summer special episodes. He's going to come and join us for one or two, and we have got some great stuff coming up, haven't we, folks? When this season ends, don't go anywhere. We'll be here through the summer for a few weeks.
Yeah, we will. We'll have a little bit of time off, but we will do four or five specials. We are having a special episode on Monday. I won't be here Monday. Well, not physically. I might be here as a guest. I definitely won't be here as a host. I've got a procedure to get done on Monday, Tuesday sort of thing. So I won't be available to host the show on Monday. But Trevor will be hosting. So take a sleep. Take anything you need to keep you awake. Honestly, it's you're on mute, Trev.
With the assistance of the boys, trust me, I won't be doing it alone. With the assistance,
of Trev, I've got a replacement, mate. Don't you worry.
Oh, sure. Oh. Alex, hey, boys, hang on a minute. It's nearly an hour and a half again.
It's an hour and a half. I know. Forward at nine watching. Listen, before we do go, for the 409 that are watching there, that's where we are. Guns and Ribbons on X, Twitter. Guns and Yellow Ribbons on all other social media. Go over to YouTube, click on the subscribe and the bell button, and then you will be able to get notifications when we go live again. I've really enjoyed this. These are getting longer and longer and longer and longer. We're back on Monday, 7 o'clock. Trevor hosting. Up the Arsenal. Fuck the Spurs.
Thanks for listening to Guns and Yellow Ribbons, an Arsenal podcast by Arsenal fans for Arsenal fans. Follow us on Facebook at Guns and Yellow Ribbons or Twitter at Guns and Ribbons. And remember to rate and review us too. Up the Arsenal.